Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gold International Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dani.
Yeah, thank you, Renju. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we're delighted to host the senior management of Goldium International. We have with us Mr. Rashesh Bhansali, Executive Chairman, and Anmol Bhansali, Managing Director of the company. We will start the call with opening remarks from Rashesh Sir and then move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good evening and welcome to Goldium's Q3 and nine months of FY25 earnings call. I would first like to thank the entire team of Monarch for hosting this call. Goldium reported one of the best financial performances for the third quarter of the current financial year. Our Q3 consolidated revenue at rupees 2,880 million grew by 41% year-on-year and 104% quarter-on-quarter. Revenue for nine months FY25 at rupees 5,988 million grew by 29% year-on-year. We posted higher revenue with better margin profile during Q3, thus improving overall margin for nine months ended so far of FY25. Q3 typically is a better quarter for Goldium due to the festive season purchases across USA. Besides revenue bookings of pending sales on account of shipments delays during the previous quarter, Goldium's efforts to improve wallet share amongst its existing customers have translated in better revenue growth, even as the U.S. jewelry market remained more or less stagnant. Factors such as increased LGD jewelry contribution, our quick time to market, innovative designs, and effective procurement of diamonds are helping us in protecting and strengthening our margins. Our EBITDA for Q3 at rupees 708 million increased by 62% year-on-year and 105% quarter-on-quarter, whereas nine-month EBITDA at rupees 1,397 grew by 39% year-on-year. EBITDA margin for Q3 is at an all-time high of 24.6%. Nine-month EBITDA margin too remains extremely healthy at 23.3%. Q3 profit after tax at rupees 498 million is up by 54% year-on-year and 125% quarter-on-quarter. Profit after tax for nine months at rupees 939 million is up by 28% as well. Cash and cash equivalents, including investments, at rupees 2,759 million as on December 31st, 2024. The board of directors of the company have also approved a second interim dividend at the rate of 1 rupee per equity share of face value rupees 2. During Q3 FY25, lab-grown diamond jewelry exports contributed 80% compared to 58% in Q3 of FY24 to the overall export sales mix. Online revenue accounted for 28% of the revenue during Q3 FY25. About 74% of the inventory of finished jewelry as on December 31st, 2024, is with customers as finished goods of jewelry to be sold in subsequent months to their consumers. Goldium's order book position as on December 31st, 2024, stands at about 1,750 million. This order book also will be fulfilled within the next 3 to 4 months. Now, gentlemen, let me give you an update on our Indian B2B brand, Aurigem. As you know, Goldium opened its first store, Aurigem, during the festive season of Diwali to the great customers' response subsequently. Goldium opened another store at Kharghar, Navi Mumbai, in December. We recently opened our Mumbai flagship store in the key jewelry market of Turner Road in Bandra as well, marking our entry into one of the most prestigious shopping destinations in our country. We hope this establishes Aurigem's brand and promise as we roll out more stores nationally in near future. Goldium will open 3 more Origem stores in Mumbai by March 2025. These stores will come up at Andheri West, Mulund West and at Fairmont Hotel near Terminal 2 of the Mumbai International Airport. Following these openings, the company plans to open more stores in Delhi NCR region. Recently, we have also launched a dedicated commerce website for Origem under the domain www.origeminda.com. The website is witnessing good customer traffic as well. With the robust 9-month numbers, we hope to close FY25 with decent annual growth in revenue as well as profits. Let me also emphasize that there is no further room for decline in lab-grown diamond prices. We have a roadmap and resources for making Origem India's largest lab-grown diamond jewelry brand, and we are progressing well on that front. With that overview, I'm happy to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Bhavya Gandhi with Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question is regarding the outlook for the B2B business. So overall, you are hearing in the diamond industry that it's going through a rough time. So if you can provide at least outlook for next 2-3 quarters, how is it going to pan out, and is there any impact of tariffs when it comes to diamonds, natural or lab-grown? Yes.
Thank you, Bhavya, for your question. Now, the diamond industry is the loose diamond industry which generates or which manufactures natural diamonds. As you are aware, natural diamonds is no more a store of wealth, and that's where demand has decreased due to the increased demand in lab-grown diamonds, which is a much more cost-effective way of consumers buying diamonds, which is chemically, physically and optically the actual same thing. So the clear shift of demand from natural diamonds to lab-grown diamonds is very evident, and that is why the diamond industry, which is a loose diamond industry, which Goldium is not a part of, right, is affected.
Okay.
Regarding your other question on, how do you see the coming couple of quarters? Well, we already have said that we have a 175 crore order book, and so the order visibility for the next quarter is very strong. This is higher than what we did same time last year, right? And I think we will be capable and to really get there and, you know, increase it as well. We see huge growth and demand for lab-grown diamond jewelry within our customers. We are actually now seeing customers asking us for diamond sizes which are 5 carat to 10 carat, while earlier it was from 1 carat to 5 carat. So there are very, very good chances that Goldium's business will maintain and grow further.
Got it. Fair enough. Just wanted to understand, if you look at the natural diamond average realization, that has increased sharply to 16% QOQ, even in dollar terms, and even in rupee terms, it has increased 17%. So what has led to this growth in natural diamond average realization?
So we had earlier goods on memo, which clearly is selling down. So that helps to increase the revenue share out there. And again, you've seen the rupee being depreciated at a certain point. So probably that's again another reason why you've seen that happening. And we've been using slightly, since diamond prices and natural diamonds have also gone down, all the new orders that are coming, we're getting for better quality, which is a higher ticket size.
Okay, got it. And with respect to our retail store, what has been the total revenue till now?
I would say you would want this number as on December or as on today?
As on today as well as on December, if you can help with both.
So I think as on December, I think we've done around 78 lakhs. And as on today, we've crossed 2 crores.
We've crossed 2 crores. Okay. And we had alluded earlier that we wanted to open 15 stores in next 6 months. But the target now seems to be opening 3 new stores in Mumbai. So how long will the entire 15 stores be opened within?
Anmol, would you want to take this?
Sure. Thanks for the question, Bhavya. So our plan, we've taken a month to work on the tech and the back-end operations for OriGem. So we are very geared to now run faster in terms of store fleet expansion. The plan is by March end 2025, so March 31st, 2025, have our six stores in Mumbai all open. That itself will make us the largest COCO lab-grown retailer in Mumbai City. In fact, not just COCO, it will make us the largest lab-grown jewelry retailer in Mumbai by a far margin. Post that, we hope to very quickly expand both in NCR and Bangalore region, and the idea is over the 6 months thereafter, so effectively Q1 FY 26 and Q2 FY 26, focus on NCR and Bangalore region markets.
Thank you. Mr. Gandhi, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Dixit Doshi with Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the prices of the lab-grown diamonds. So how it has moved from Q2 to Q3 level? Because I think the lower carat diamond, the prices, last time you have mentioned that it has started increasing.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Dixit. I'll give my comment here, and then I'll open the floor to our chairman as well to add on his comments. So for us now, prices of lower carat lab-grown diamonds are very stable. We have no price depreciation or reductions happening in any size in the last quarter or two quarters that is below 3 carat in diamond size. So for us now, we are comfortable, and our focus is on volume expansion and, of course, upselling customers into larger caratage. So as an example, moving a customer in the U.S. who was buying a 1 carat lab-grown ring into now buying a 2-2.5 carat lab-grown ring, and so on and so forth. I'd open the floor to our chairman to add any comments.
Mr. Dixit, we now do not expect any further fall in the pricing of lab-grown, and the company is very confident that at these prices, our margins will be stable, and we will grow from here with larger sizes, as we've already spoken before.
Okay. My other question is, you did mention about the demand in the U.S. If you can also mention about our expansion into the other geographies like UAE, Middle East, or even Australia, Europe. And my last question is, so the real diamond jewelry do require a certification because of obviously reason the higher value per diamond. But do you feel that even the LGD jewelry will need certification in future? And if yes, why do you feel so?
So I will first ask Anmol to answer the question on certification. Anmol, can you take that?
Yes. So lab-grown jewelry, we don't see certification for us is driven by our customers' requirements. As an example, in the U.S., when lab-grown diamond jewelry just started being introduced, all customers, all large retailers required certification to separate the inventory which was lab-grown from the inventory which was natural diamond jewelry. Today, with bulk of stores crossing more than 50% of the inventory being lab-grown diamond jewelry, they find a lesser and lesser need for full certification or complete certification. Again, for us at Goldium, it's a pass-through cost that goes directly billed to our retail customers. But we do see some large retailers now asking us to reduce the type of certification or reduce certification completely on entry-level lab-grown jewelry items. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah.
What was the other question, Mr. Dixit?
About the demand or the traction in the other geographies like UAE, Middle East,
sure.
Europe, Australia.
So, as I had mentioned earlier, we were foraying into Middle East as well as Australia. I'm very happy to announce that we made 3 shipments to Australia. Customer loves the product and they've already paid us for the same, and we are now negotiating further orders from Australia. So we assume that Australia, we are clear that Australia will be another strong geography for Goldium going forward with the customer penetration that we've already achieved. Regarding Middle East, we have sent samples and we're still awaiting larger orders from, we've just sent samples and small things have happened, but we're still awaiting larger orders from the Middle East. And with Europe, we haven't done much yet in Europe because we've been looking at India as the other geography for starting origin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aman Veech with Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, my first question is on the U.S. Presence. So we are selling both on the mom and pop store and on the big retailer side. So if we remove the mom and pop store, could you talk about what is our presence today in terms of, say, number of final retail stores, where what is the presence today? And where do you see this number in the next 1 year?
Mr. Amar, so Goldium at the moment sells more to the larger retailers, but we do have a strong presence in mom and pop through our wholesale channel partners out there. It is really very difficult for us to sell to individual 1111 store ownership all across America because shipping cost and other such geographical factors are against the value of the transaction. So we have a wholesaler, we ship to the wholesaler and the middleman, and that person distributes in America via FedEx or UPS to all these smaller mom and pop retailers. So that wholesaler does close to $6.5 million from us. There are these couple of wholesalers who do this kind of business, and that's the kind of business we sell to this kind of mom and pop stores. The rest of our business is completely going to larger retailers.
So let me rephrase it. So I was trying to understand for the larger retailers only. So we are selling to larger retailers, but they would eventually have the final stores. All of them have like 1,000 stores and plus, as you have talked about historically. So as of today, our product in terms of the final retail stores of these larger retailers, I was trying to understand that presence.
Okay. Anwar, what do you want to take this?
Sure. If I understand your question correctly, is it how many retail stores is Goldium's product present in?
Yes, and excluding the small stores. I am only talking about the big retail chains will each have like 500,000 stores.
Correct.
For everything, what is the number today? What was the number, say, 1-2 years back? And where do you see this number in the next 1 year?
Sure. So we don't track that data, but to give you an anecdote and understand our business, 2 years ago we would probably be in 1,500 to 2,000 stores in terms of large corporate retailers. Today our presence would be north of 3,000, 3,000 to 3,500 retail doors of our large corporate retailers. And there are a few more that we see potential with, but we have not started our account with them. But rest assured, the largest jewelry retailer in the US is a customer of Goldium, and we are working on increasing penetration with them, along with deepening our penetration of account with our other top clients as well.
Sure, sir. So just continuing this question further. So we have seen a very strong growth after a long time in the US for this year. And I believe this is mostly due to increasing our presence from whatever you said, 1,500, 2,000 to now 3,000 stores. So going forward now with this presence in more stores, is it possible to keep growing at this 20-25% level?
It's a good question, Aman. Actually, I would say that your understanding is a bit incorrect. Yes, there is some amount of increase in distribution, But the priority for us, which we have maintained in prior calls as well, is to increase dollars per store or items per store. So we have access to some very large customers, very large retail accounts in the U.S. And for us, it's, to give an anecdote, it's like adding for a car auto component manufacturer, it's adding more components within a car. So for us, it's how much presence do we have within the retail store itself. So that's been the focus. I think we easily can, you know, see visibility to grow our business significantly. Even with our current business, I think, and the current growth, I don't see a challenge to keep growing for the next 3 to 5 years, provided, of course, there is no, or at least for the next 3 to 5 years on a long-term basis.
Sure. Just to finally talk about this. So say if it, the value was X per store 1-2 years back, could you talk about it, what it is today and what it can be in the next 2-3 years? What is your aim?
So we don't track data like that. But you know, we've certainly grown some accounts 2x, 3x from what they used to be 2 years ago, in terms of the account size that is enjoyed by Goldium. If you would like, I can pull out that data on an overall number and maybe work on a report and share it in a couple of days.
Mr. Aman, just to add to that question, as I earlier said, that earlier Goldium used to sell between 1-carat to 5-carat stones to these large retailers. Now we are seeing a traction from 5-carat to 10-carat. So it is, once that happens and, you know, all the samples are through, once that happens, then it's very easy to even within that area increase much more or double our business with those same retailers.
Thank you. Mr. Veej, please fall back in the queue for more questions. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Tanay with Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, sorry, am I audible now?
Yes, Tanay.
Yeah. So, I just had a couple of follow-up questions regarding a earlier participant's question regarding certification. So I understand you all pass on 100% of the cost to your customers. Is there a margin you all make on that also, or no?
No, not really. It depends customer to customer. For the large part, there is no additional margin we add on to certification.
Got it. And, like, what percentage of your customers are seeking certifications now, and how has that trend been for lab-growns especially?
So it started with almost all 100% of customers seeking certification. Maybe on the entry-level styles, on the lower ticket price items, $300, $400, they would not want certification. And for the higher ticket price items, they used to go for certification. Today, that number is lower than it was this time last year.
Would you be comfortable sharing, like, at what percentage would that be of your customer base?
Again, we don't really track it, but I can,
Got it.
You know, show you, for us, it's not our core business, so it doesn't matter. It's a business line expense. So, all I can say is that I'm speaking to customers, and I know that they are looking to reduce their certification costings.
Got it. And, in terms of certifiers, do you all have any specific names that customers usually want, or do you all certify with anyone that's available?
You know, for us, it depends on what the customer chooses. I can just share there are companies like IGI, GSI, and discount certification labs like IGL, EGL, SGL, etc. Again, please remember, we are a jewelry company, so all of our certification is only on the finished jewelry side. We don't do any loose diamonds, and therefore we don't have any loose diamond certification.
Thank you. Mr. Tanay, please fall back in the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Ankush Agarwal with Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for taking my question. So personally, the question is around growth during the quarter. As far as the about 50 crores on deferred sales that we have from Q2.
Sorry, Ankush.
Not...
Yeah. Well, I'm able to hear you. Yeah.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. So the question was broadly around growth. So if I remove about 50 crores of deferred sales that we had from the past quarter, we have done revenues about 230 crores, which seems lower given that we had an order book of almost 270 crores as of Q2 end. And typically we do much more higher sales than the order book because about 20-25% of the sales which is online sales is not captured in the order book. So what was the reason why the revenue numbers this quarter was lower than the order book that we had as of past quarter?
Hello, I still haven't heard you, Ankush. Can you please maybe get on the phone or not be on speaker line?
This is the operator. We have lost the line. I'll promote the next. The next in line is Akshay from Exponent Tribe. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to go back to a question earlier in the conversation where you spoke about your increasing order values or number of pieces per store or those that you're present in. So, Sagar, maybe if you can help us understand exactly how this works once you enter an account, do you get orders from store level and do you have to do marketing or push your product at a store level, or is this something that client does at a system level and then sort of asks you to kind of produce as much or send as much? And so the reason I'm asking is sort of what is our lever to be able to increase penetration at a store level? That's one. Second is you spoke about the fact that you're probably present in about 3,000-3,500 odd stores. If you had to take a 5 to 7 year, 10 year view, what kind of stores can you, what kind of number of stores can you get to? I would imagine that US market would have significantly larger number of stores. So yeah, these are the two questions.
So thank you, Akshay. Let me answer the second question first. So again, we don't track the stores, the number of stores that we sell to. We track our account and account sizes. Just to anecdotally, again, just to share, the exports of finished jewelry from Seats from Mumbai and from India to the US are very significant. From Seats itself, it's north of $3-3.5 billion. I would say that is easily our addressable market, and much more, of course, looking at other regions of India, China, etc., exporting to both retailers in America and global brands around the world. So for us, we see that is our potential addressable market and opportunity size. On a longer term basis, the idea is to at least, well, on the medium term basis and short term basis, the idea is to increase depth of account size with each of our retailers. So add more, introducing high end fashion, introducing various sizes of lab-grown diamonds within entry-level bridles, regular mid-price bridles, as well as we mentioned, high-priced 6, 7, 8, and even 10-carat center stone bridles within the U.S. retail market. So for now, we are focusing on going deeper with our current customer base, but the opportunity size is very clearly there. Your first question, I didn't understand you because of audio issues. If you could repeat what you meant and what you were referring to regarding store level marketing, I'd be happy to answer that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in the conversation, you spoke about how over the last few years, we all have been able to penetrate stores better, right? Essentially, number of pieces you sell per store. So, what does Goldium do to get here?
Because perfect.
You don't get to a store by store and figure out what inventory should I keep here.
Very clear, Akshay. Thank you. So this is a pure play B2B business working with large corporate retailers. The idea is you crack an account, you open an account, and you develop a relationship with the buyer who buys your line of jewelry within that retail organization. Over the span of 6 months, 8 months, you introduce new product, you look at what they are, what they have in stores and understand white spaces. We have a small team of data analysts also at our factory to help us understand what is missing, what is trending up, what is trending down, and basis on this data, we feed our product design team who comes up with new concepts, new designs that work specifically for that retailer. Our sales team then goes and pitches that, and based on success of some of those lines, that trust develops with a buyer of that line of jewelry with the corporate account. The idea is, as trust develops, as your designs sell better than what they have in store, that buyer is also naturally inclined to keep growing your account size with them, to keep saying, Goldium's designs are doing well, they're performing well, let us increase the number of rings or the number of earrings that we buy from this one vendor. So that's on one side within you know, who we already work with, but also then once you develop a deep enough relationship, it's working with that buyer to ask them to introduce us to not just the bridal jewelry, but also the fashion jewelry side, also maybe the studs and solitaire side. So then reaching out to ancillary buying groups and the other buyers for the same retailer and starting a relationship with them. So again, pure play, B2B, developing trust, focusing on data and design is how we are able to go deeper with our existing retailers.
Thank you. Mr. Akshay, please rejoin the queue for more questions.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Rupesh Tatia with Intel Sense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question, sir, is the question earlier participant was asking. I think last quarter you said that 50 crore revenue got deferred, and if I take that out, then for the quarter, the growth is like from 200 crore to 230 crore. I mean, it's just a 15% growth, and that, I mean, I think it doesn't match with your commentary that we were expecting high growth. So can you maybe explain that, and also did some sales, you know, get pushed to Q4? Due to, you know, shipping or some other timing issues.
Yes, so that was the reason why those sales were shifted to this current year. But I think the figure was not 50 crores. We'll get back to you on that figure now. But yes, there was a lag, and that sales happened this quarter.
But then the number seems low, sir. From 200 to 230 seems a little low.
It was, you know, reported accordingly, and then this is an ongoing effect, right? So there are goods that are shipped, right, and which is also waiting for the customers to open their warehouses to take them in. Now, those figures we're still not aware. So the numbers are there. The numbers are pretty strong, right? And we will get back to you on what is shipped from the previous quarters and what is still to be shipped from the current quarter.
Thank you. Mr. Tatia, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Keval Shah with MK Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the retail market. Can you give some color how the retail market is for this lab-grown diamond?
Thank you, Mr. Keval. So if your question is regarding the resale market, so it's exactly the same as natural diamond jewelry, where each retailer will only buy back the goods and products which are sold by that retailer. Similarly, in natural diamond jewelry, a company like Tanishq will only buy back Tanishq jewelry in studded, at least in the studded section. In the same manner, Origem is happy to buy back jewelry that is made and certified by Origem itself. We have the best-in-class policies, which are all on our website. I forgot to mention as well, but we have gone live on our website, and we've started omni-channel sales on www.origeminda.com. I'd request everybody on call to please check out our website, and we've got all our policies as well as full customization of all of our jewelry available from day one.
Okay. And my second question is regarding due to recent surge in gold price, do you see the increase in footfall, especially for the fashion jewelries and the lab-grown jewelries for non-marriage events?
Thank you, Mr. Keval. So it's a little early for us to comment on that with three stores live at the moment. But we do see, you know, our thesis is, and the reason for being for Origem is that the sub 1 lakh rupee, sub 2 lakh rupee jewelry market in the next 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, and you know, that longer period of time will really boom in India. And given where gold prices are, because they are so high now, it in fact lends itself better for the customer to move from buying natural diamond jewelry in these price points to lab-grown, because what money is left over to fit into the diamond segment, natural diamonds made, because gold is so high already, you don't end up getting a lot. We lab-grown, in the lab-grown section, you can get much bigger and much more diamonds without compromising on budget or look. So we believe it will certainly play out very strongly as, you know, gold prices have gone up, that the customer finds more reason to purchase lab-grown diamond jewelry in these price segments.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rupesh Tatia with Intel Sense Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Again, my second question was on B2C model. So, you know, is the model settled? I mean, what is our, you know, let's say revenue per store? What is the ticket size? What is the carat range? You know, how many, what is the break-even point? You know, is the model settled? If you can give some information about the origin.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Rupesh. No, great question. We will be able to give a lot more color in the Q1 conference call, but I can share with you our working model and what we're seeing happen at the moment with these number of stores itself. So, as per our, you know, it changes store to store. For our flagship, it would be higher. But the general store fleet should, at the way we are planning it, should have a break-even just little bit shy of 30 lakhs of monthly sales per store. In our three stores, we are achieving it in all the three at the moment. And as business footfalls increase, as business increases, as generally brand awareness grows and demand increases for Origem's products, we see the model, because of a higher gross margin built in compared to our peers in everyday fine jewelry in the natural diamond side, we see that the model lends itself to being a higher ROE, faster store level break even than some of our competitors. So this is the break even that we are working with at the moment. It's matching our costs, and the revenues from our first three stores are also hitting the break even point at the moment. So we're very happy, given that we're only 2 months or 2.5 months into this journey of retail and B2C. And we are looking forward to, within the next 6 months, opening stores faster, so that brand awareness increases in general as well.
So, just one clarification. So, sure. you said in the natural diamond gross margin, the industry makes around, you know, 20 to 25%.
I think for everyday fine jewelry players that are in that omni-channel space, similar to our price points, the margin would be slightly higher even in natural diamond jewelry. Close to 25 to 30%. Yes.
So then the LGD margin, is it fair to assume it'll be, you know, 60%, 50%, 60%, like that?
So the way we are modeling is post discounting, we will be north of 40%, and we are achieving that 40 to 45%. With that also, I'm happy to share, we've done a competitor study with a few startups which have launched in the lab-grown diamond space. Origem is certainly on the solitaires between 15 to 40% cheaper than competitors that don't have the benefit of creating the designs, creating the jewelry, and buying the diamonds or growing the diamonds themselves. So our end-to-end model really, and the heft of Goldiam's strength as well, really helps us to not just maintain a higher gross margin, but also compete very strongly against some of the lab-grown startups which do not have a prior experience of a jewelry business leading them.
Thank you. Mr. Tatia, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Anant Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Anmol. Hello, team. Great work. Just a few questions. One thing I wanted to understand is, like, in reply to the previous question, you said that you are already breaking even on the retail side, on the three stores that we are currently operating. Is that understanding correct?
Hi, yes. Thank you, Mr. Anant. We are breaking even on the store-level operations, not including, of course, head office and brand
expenses. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's amazing, because I think it's just 3 months and that's absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much.
The second question is, in these 1 month since we have launched, it's been almost a month that we launched our website, what kind of sales revenue have we driven through the website?
So because it's omni-channel, we are deeply integrated, similar to some of the largest omni-channel jewelry players in India. Some of the online revenue, if the piece is available in store, gets booked by the store as well. So I'll double check the data, and I'm happy to share that with you in a day or so. We are fairly satisfied, and we're looking forward to keep building the online segment. We work effectively at the moment, every day or every second day, we get one or two orders.
Oh, that's good. Last question is that, are we looking for any celebrity brand endorsements or any of large ticket marketing exercises?
Yes, great question, Mr. Anand. So we are having our flagship store in Turner Road, Bandra, being inaugurated formally at a launch event day after with a celebrity, a Bollywood celebrity, who will be coming to launch the store along with media rights. However, that's a ribbon cutting and event exercise. In terms of a face of the brand or a brand ambassador, at the moment we are not looking to add someone on until we expand our store fleet to in the range of 15 to 20, 25 stores. So once we're present in Bangalore as well as NCR markets, I think that's certainly on the agenda.
Makes absolute sense. Thanks, Anmol, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Anand.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bharat Kenani with Money Control Pro. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on the numbers, and thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to check that how is the demand at the ground level, at the consumer sentiment in the U.S. market? We have seen some good festive commentary that we shared in the press release. So wanted to check on the sentiment, consumer sentiment side on the U.S. market. And given the growth opportunity that you have highlighted of increasing the sales to the retailers that is there, between the trends that you pointed out. So can you give a revenue outlook guidance for the medium term, what kind of revenue growth you are targeting, excluding the Origin brand that we have, and including the Origin brand, if you can highlight it at an overall company level for next 3 to 5 years, what kind of growth you are looking at.
Mr. Bharat, I would like to state that this year we still look at opening close to 20 stores, and in the next 3 to 5 years we are looking at 150 to 200 stores that are wishing to get opened. Now retail is a segment where there could be a certain amount of delays in opening and getting there in times with the rentals and getting the right location and stuff like that. So, but if you see the unit economics, we are looking at doubling our business from Goldiam with the help of Origem within the next 4 years, right? Because that's the foot plan of opening the number of stores that will come out. And I think the export market is very strong. We will grow. We are looking at growing at a minimum. Our direction is always 10 to 15%, and then we try our best to do more. But if you really go to see with the help of Origin, in 4 years, we should be doubling our current export figures, current revenue.
Okay. Thanks for all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bharat.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bhavya Gandhi with Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just missed the timeline of the store openings. You said in next 6 months, we are planning to open 3 more stores by March. And then in the Delhi NCR, what is the timeline? And for Bangalore, what is the timeline?
Sure. So thank you for the question, Bhavya. We'll be opening 3 stores by March end. So not the next 6 months, just in the next 40-45 days. We should have a store fleet of 6 stores in Mumbai. Post that, we will start looking for locations and engaging with potential asset owners, both on the high street and mall side within Bangalore as well as NCR. The idea is, if all goes according to plan and the right locations are available at the right prices, of course, we hope to open around 20 to 25 stores in that ballpark, more or less, by December end 2025. I'll open the comments to our chairman to correct me if any.
No, you were absolutely bang on, Anmol.
Great. That's it from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bhavya.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Agam Sangvi with Wolford Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you currently said that you are planning to open 20 to 25 stores by December 25. So what will be the model of expansion? Like, it would be a company-owned and company-operated model or a franchisee model?
So complete COCO. We were not looking at franchise opportunities at the moment in this calendar year. We'll certainly evaluate and look at that model once we have the brand well established.
All right. My next question would be regarding the e-commerce sales. So for the next 1 or 2 years, what would be the percentage of sales from the e-commerce division and what margins can we expect from there?
Sure. So let me answer on the B2B side. So e-commerce, selling online via our customers' retail websites. So about 20 to 25% of our sales come from that channel. Again, that's really amazing for Goldiam because that channel operates at a negative working capital. We get paid within 7 to 30 days, whereas raw material is bought. Diamonds are bought with longer terms. So it's been a phenomenal avenue for us to increase profitable sales with very strong ROEs. We expect this ratio to continue, about 20 to 25% of sales coming from online channels moving forward as well, which is double of where the industry stands.
No, I mean, I was asking from your own website, like Origem.
Sure. So from Origem, we just launched. We haven't modeled the figures yet. We're happy to share that data in the Q4 conference call. And certainly Q1 conference call onwards, we'll have much more color to present on Origem, both stores and e-commerce side.
Thank you. Mr. Sangvi, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Aman Veech with Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Continuing on the Indian retail side, sir. So on the online side, there are a couple of players, the oldest player whose store is doing like 300, 400 crore sales. So is it possible for us to do, say, 100 crore kind of sales in the next 2 years on online domestic channel, as well as when you talk about we have plans of, say, 2025 stores. So obviously this will happen throughout the year in CY26. But say for CY27, can keep this store generate similar run rate which you are talking about. So is it safe to assume that for say next 1-2 years, this retail revenue can scale to say 100, 150 crore kind of sales as well?
Thank you for your question. Yes, as we said, if we open the 25 to 30 stores within the next, by the end of the year, and if we calculate on an average 30 lakhs per store, it's very safe to say that within the next time frame you're looking at, you will see an additional of 90 to 120 crores between e-commerce as well as store openings.
Yeah, and on specifically on e-commerce, is it possible for us to like grow this business very fast once we have like 15-20 stores? So e-commerce alone, can it contribute like 1500 crore sales?
So let me take that question, Mr. Aman. Certainly down the road, I can't comment on exactly whether that would happen in the next year or so, but it's certainly possible down the road. See, our biggest learnings from, you know, now very well-scaled omni-channel everyday fine jewelers on the natural side is that once you cross a certain price threshold, which is 20,000-25,000 rupees, online is more used as a platform for omni-channel sales. So the customer looks online but comes to the nearest store to actually transact. That's why we see many names, some of which, you know, you of course very well know, rapidly being online first companies now expanding or already expanded north of 200 to 300 stores. So yes, online will be an important part of the journey. And it can certainly grow. I can't comment on when that, you know, exactly when that would happen. It's linked to development of the brand and growth of the brand in general. But for our category in everyday fine jewelry, given the price points we are targeting, which is, you know, more or less an ASP of 40 to 50,000 rupees, I assume bulk of sales will end up being offline in general.
And just one clarification on this realization, which you mentioned around, say, 40,000-50,000 per customer. So is it safe to assume, sir, for achieving that 30 lakh number, we just need 2 customers a day, and then anything addition, everything will flow to our margins and to the bottom line? And is there
absolutely. That's why we see a lot of potential in this business model at Origem. You know, once stores hit break even, you know, and thereafter the stores season well, the brand is well accepted, the designs are well liked, and revenue naturally takes its course to go upwards. It could be a phenomenally value accretive business model as well.
Thank you, Mr. Veech. Please fall back in the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Sunil Shah with SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, just want to understand one basic question on the business side. Sir, what happens to the unsold inventory which lies in the large format store overseas? What happens to that?
Right, that's a great question. So as we put out the data about 70%, give or take 70 to 75% of our inventory is sitting as finished goods on consignment with large retailers in the US. So every month, every day that sells down, we get paid for it every month as it sells. The styles that do not work, that don't sell well, after a course or period of time of 12 months or 14 months or 16 months as required, Goldiam has a binary choice. We can either take a markdown on those items and move them to the clearance section within those stores, in which case hopefully with a lower retail then they can liquidate naturally in store itself, or we take that back, take the inventory back, melt it. And the unique thing about diamond jewelry inventory is once you melt it, gold is immediately recyclable in tomorrow's orders. And diamonds, if you've done your job well of inventory management, then you know you can use those diamonds, those shapes, those qualities, those sizes within your future orders in a quick period of time. So other than, of course, design and working on, you know, improving the hit ratio of designs, a particular thing that we do at Goldiam is keep a keen eye on inventory management. It's a very important part of our business so that we can ensure that dead inventory is not sitting in any store, and we are able to recycle what needs to be recycled fairly quickly.
Sir, the second question, again in the context with inventory and so working capital. Sir, the credit period that is given, right, for, you know, we have 4 different ways. The wholesaler overseas who buys the product from us and then sells it through those multiple mom and pop stores overseas. The large format retailer who buys from us overseas. Then we have our own store here in India, and we would also have perhaps wholesalers in India. So there are four major customers, so-called categories of customers. Sure. Or if there is anything more, you can add to it. But just tell me the number of days of credit that is provided by you.
Absolutely. No problem, Mr. Shah. So let's start with the smallest segment, which is wholesale sales to the US. So where we sell to wholesalers, credit terms there are usually between around 150 to 180 days. Then we go to selling to stores, so large format retailers whom we deal with directly. When we sell to the stores, credit periods are between, and directly on purchase order basis, credit periods are between 60 to 90 days, at max 120 days with one or two retailers. Then we sell online on these same customers' websites. So, you know, xyzretailer.com. On their websites, any sales that happen, our credit period is 7 to 30 days, so much, much faster, and that's why it's been a particular focus for us. And then memo sales, so any consignment that's been sold by the retailer, they have to pay us by end of the month. So if they sell between day 1 and day 30, by the 5th of the following month, they have to pay us for what has been sold. So that is immediate, but of course that's consignment, on consignment. The India operations, we don't sell to any wholesalers or retailers in India. We only sell in India through Origem, which is our own brand. Because it's a new brand, we, you know, the sales are, you know, and because it's directly retail, there is no credit period here.
Okay. Sir, if I can squeeze in one more question. Sir, where I'm coming from is the perception of the stock market community towards the diamond industry. And the broader perception created over the decades has been the misconception or anything. But by and large, the sales numbers are always questioned by the stock market community for the diamond industry. There is a lot of, you know, circular sales which happens is the perception. So how does that particular perception change? Meaning I'm trying to understand why would the company in the diamond industry be re-rated in the eyes of the stock market community. Could you make me understand this, please?
Anmol, let me take this.
Sure. Thank
So first, let me explain to you two things. That Goldiam's operations for export are all in SEEPs, which is the SEZ. So we can only export, we can't sell in the domestic market. None of the exports of Goldiam go in loose diamonds, which can be circulated to Dubai, Hong Kong and back. Dubai, Hong Kong and back, right? And there is, first of all, no reason for a company like Goldiam to sell loose diamonds, which we anyway don't. We have a zero export of loose diamond. We don't have any debt. So once we don't have a debt, we don't have to show to the bankers to keep the same line. So we keep circulating and stuff, things like that. We are a pure design-based jewelry company. Our exports are straight to the largest retailers in the world, in America, right? We are not shipping product to Hong Kong and getting it back to Dubai and getting it back. Our balance sheets and can really explain that to you very easily. And now we have a business in India. So the question of circular trading in Goldiam's book just cannot exist. Right now, whereas this loose diamond people, we are not in the same industry. So I just want to state again that diamonds is only a raw material. We are not in the diamond industry. We are completely into design-based retailing or design-based exporting, creating value addition for the company.
And if I can add on, Mr. Shah, it's something that we take pride in and we have a lot of importance that we give to is our disclosures and our governance. As promoters and management, this is the sole business that we have. So all of our efforts and time goes within to Goldiam and of course our subsidiaries. And beyond that, you know, the track record of Goldiam over the last few years shows the amount of true cash being generated by the company. It's being distributed or has been up in, you know, so far been distributed in the form of dividends and buybacks. Despite of that, we have maintained our cash balances at near to all-time high region. So that clearly shows how, you know, a company our size is rewarding shareholders, is creating governance and is focused on being clear and transparent in all that we do.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes on the line of Daksh Malhotra with Adrif Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. Hi, am I audible?
Yes. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. So, two sides to the question. First one is a little more detailed. While you've, you know, answered a lot of the questions asked by other participants, but just keen to understand that given that the gold prices are increasing so steeply, is Goldium also looking at making jewelry with silver as the base metal along with the lab-grown diamonds?
Thank you, Mr. Daksh. So it depends on our retailers in America. If they want us to, you know, we're happy to do that. Very, very small portion of our line is silver-based jewelry, diamond studded in silver and silver-based jewelry manufacturing. I don't see retailers in America pushing too much, especially in the bridal segment. And because we particularly focus on bridal, I don't see that portion increasing dramatically. But, you know, so I hope that answers the question. And at Origem, we are not introducing silver.
Okay, yeah, because it makes sense. Otherwise, it becomes just another fashion jewelry with regards to Origem. Also, you mentioned that you have a buyback policy within Origem. Are you buying back? Is the buyback usually at the same price? So, in case a walk-in client comes and happens to buy something for 1 lakh rupees, and probably a couple of years later they come and want to sell it back. Is it just the making charges that are reduced, and or how does that work?
Sure. So I can run through the buyback policy. We benchmarked it to our largest jewelry retailers in India, Tanishq, etc. So the way it works is making charges are deducted. And of course, gold and diamonds both are credited back in the form of the current market value. So if gold increases, if gold goes to $3,000 per troy ounce or even higher, you know, the customer gets the benefit of that. And diamonds, depending on where current market is, as per Origem's grid, it will be credited at that date. Again, you know, going back to the question of lab-grown diamonds, we see no further price falls coming in, especially in, you know, the diamonds which are now not 3 carat, but also below 5 carat and below. So at the moment, I think it's a great time to buy lab-grown diamond jewelry.
Yeah. Okay. So what is the maximum caratage that you guys have started making yet?
Sure. So in terms of diamond caratage, in most of our stores, it goes up to 3 to 4 carat. For our flagship, we're taking it all the way up to 10 carat center stones as well.
Thank you. Mr. Malhotra, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rupam Jaiswal with Investwell Agents Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for providing me this opportunity. So I may be repeating this question, but I just want to know, like, do all your customers require certification for the jewelry, or does it depend on the value of the piece?
So it depends. They don't require jewelry, and it depends on their personal requirements. So value of the piece, who their customers are, what they want to do. It's a retailer-driven choice.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dixit Doshi with Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
No, all my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doshi.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question, first question I want to ask is, if I look at our natural diamonds revenue, those have been growing like 30-40% for almost 6-7 quarters now. But so I wanted to understand what is happening over here, because I believe the industry wouldn't be degrowing this fast. So are we consciously trying to, you know, sort of reduce that business, or it is an outcome of, say, the retailers themselves not willing to do that business any longer?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Ankush. So, yes, it's a conscious decision. Natural diamond jewelry, especially being distributed to stores, which has a requirement of also doing a certain amount of consignment for new product testing. We are moving more and more towards lab-grown. Of course, if a retailer needs product in natural, we have design capability and we are able to deliver it. But we want an understanding from retailers on an exit plan, a way to purchase that inventory, a way to sell down that inventory. Because for us, what we are seeing on the ground level in America, because we have data on what's selling every month from our consignment and memo sales, the lab-grown diamond jewelry is selling faster as a percentage of inventory than the natural diamond jewelry. That simply means that the capital being invested is working faster by investing it in lab-grown diamond jewelry. The trend, of course, is moving towards there. And the end customer is clearly telling us what he or she wants to buy. So at Goldium, it's been a decision we've taken to lean more heavily on lab-grown. But of course, we're, you know, at the end of the day, we're a jewelry company, so we're technically stone agnostic. But our desire in terms of what to distribute, invest in, and sell would certainly be lab-grown diamond jewelry.
Thank you. Mr. Agarwal, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Anand Jain with Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Just one question, Anmol. What has been the EBITDA impact of retail operations in this quarter?
Thank you, Mr. Anand. So we haven't, we can share that data. We haven't split it up at the moment. We'll certainly share that data in a day or two. In December ending quarter, it was not very significant, especially due to growth in business and, you know, the overall revenue pie increasing. But please give me a day and I'll be happy a day or two, and I'll ensure that we split that number out and share it as well. That is also something we are planning from Q1 onwards to share in our corporate deck.
Thank you. Mr. Chan, please return the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Akshay J with Exponent Tribe. Please go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to sort of get some thoughts on what are the learnings so far from the retail operation, maybe things that have worked well, things that have not worked well on merchandising, marketing. I know it's a little early, but we used to kind of get a sense.
So thank you, Mr. Thank you, Akshay. You know, happy to share some thoughts. Well, a few things that were surprising to us was the quantum of made-to-order or customization requests we got. Thankfully, because of our jewelry supply partners, the ability of us to be able to buy diamonds ourselves in a very rapid manner and deliver them to custom manufacturing, we've been able to adapt to that trend, and that's a non-insignificant part of our sales at the store level. Another thing that we noticed is, in fact, in key jewelry markets, especially, for example, Borivali, which was our first store, the customers already is fairly well educated on lab-grown diamond jewelry. They come in knowing, you know, what lab-grown is, how it is truly chemically, optically, and physically the same as natural diamonds. So that requirement to convince the customer to come into the category isn't as prevalent. Now, of course, as we expand, as we move into regions and areas where lab-grown fairs are not present, or even mall stores where there's much higher daily footfall, that may change. But in our current store format, that's been a particular interesting learning that we've had. And again, the focus on design is extremely important as well. I'll open it to our chairman if he wants to add any comments here.
So also, we feel that we've kind of understanding more of what the consumer behavior and patterns are.
in the 3 months of learning that we've had with Borivali store, 2 months from Khargar and a few days from Turner Road, are, 14 carat, 18 carat, both have been liked by consumers, and that's really not a reason that we only need to make 18 carat jewelry. 14 carat is being bought by consumers in our country unquestionably. So that's one good learning. And earrings and rings are very strong sales and the fastest to sell from all the other things like either a pendant or a large necklace or stuff like that, to add on to what Anmol's said.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I want to thank all the participants for joining us today. If you have any further questions or need additional information, please feel free to contact Desario Consulting, our investor relations team. Thank you all and have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.